Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37 is our text this evening. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Are you a man or a woman of your word? When you say yes or no to something, do people take it as gospel? That is, as the truth? Are you someone whose word is questioned unless confirmed with an oath? In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus dealt with the issue of swearing oaths, in which he set a high example, a high standard for his disciples to follow, in which he set a high standard, a standard that exceeded that of the scribes and Pharisees, and exceeds the standard followed by many people today. In this lesson, the swearing of oaths, we shall consider what Jesus taught from the standpoint of four questions. What did the law of Moses actually teach concerning the swearing of oaths? How had the Jews, and in particular the scribes and Pharisees, traditionally interpreted and implied the law? What did Jesus teach in response to this abuse of the law concerning oaths? Did Jesus forbid even those oaths made in court? What did the law of Moses actually teach concerning the swearing of oaths? Three passages make very clear the teaching of the law. Let's go first to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 12. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord, or I am Jehovah. Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2. Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Then Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. You'll see the emphasis was on truthfulness and faithfulness. A person must be truthful when he swears an oath. He must truly mean it. He must also be faithful in keeping the oath. He must carry out his word. This emphasis on truthfulness in the heart was stressed by the Psalms and the prophets as well. Notice Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. The prophets often bemoaned the lack of truth in the heart. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Jeremiah, of course, living a day of deep apostasy. The people had gone after false gods and had turned the truth of God into a lie. Jeremiah 5, verses 1 and 2, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely." And so Jeremiah says, I can't find anybody. I can't find anybody, therefore Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, they commit adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood." So the teaching of the law was clear. Vows to the Lord should be kept, and truthfulness in all things was expected. How had the Jews, and in particular the scribes and Pharisees, traditionally interpreted and applied the law? It appeared the emphasis had shifted from truthfulness in all things to honoring only those vows sworn to the Lord, as implied by Jesus' comments, Matthew chapter 5, verses 34 through 36. Matthew chapter 5, verses 34 through 36. "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." In application, the Pharisees taught that only vows made to the Lord were binding. That the Jews had made such arbitrary distinctions between their vows is seen in Matthew chapter 23, verses 16 through 19. Matthew 23, verses 16 through 19. "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth thereon. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon." Because of this distinction, daily conversations were often spiced with meaningless oaths to make impressions. For example, "I swear by heaven," or "I swear by the throne of God," "I swear by earth, by Jerusalem, by the altar, by the temple, by my head." By shifting the emphasis from truthfulness to honoring only those vows made to the Lord, the Pharisees in their application of the law justified the use of meaningless vows. Now to our third question, what did Jesus teach in response to this abuse of the law concerning oaths? He exposed the hypocrisy in such arbitrary distinctions. Matthew 23, verses 20 through 22. "Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon." In Matthew chapter 5, verses 34 through 36, these verses likewise teach that one cannot swear by these things without involving God. Matthew 5, verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Heaven is the throne of God. Earth is his footstool. Only God can change our hair color without the use of dyes. Only God can do these things. Therefore, any oath is an oath to the Lord. He wanted us to be truthful. Truthful in the heart. So let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Any more than this is evil. That is, trying to trick somebody into accepting your oath when you really don't mean it. Any more than this is evil, and would be contrary to speaking truth in the heart. In exposing the hypocritical distinctions made by the scribes and Pharisees in their oaths, and in commanding us to speak simply and truthfully, the words of Jesus have led many to ask our fourth and final question, did Jesus forbid even those oaths made in court? Arguments in support of swearing judicial oaths, both Jesus and James qualified their statements concerning oaths. Jesus said, swear not at all. This phrase is immediately qualified by Jesus to refer to flippant and hypocritical oaths commonly voiced by the people. James chapter 5 and verse 12, the command, do not swear, is also qualified by James to refer to the same kind of meaningless oaths, things that you don't really mean. Also consider the following points. God has sworn an oath to us. Notice Hebrews 6, verses 16 through 18. Hebrews 6, verses 16 through 18. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. God has sworn an oath to us, and we can expect him to keep it. Jesus was willing to answer under oath before the Sanhedrin court. Matthew chapter 26, verse 63. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 63. And the high priest arose, verse 62, and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter ye shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the heavens. It was part of the law that the high priest's adjournment was to be respected. And so Jesus respected it. He answered the question, which was an oath. Paul made solemn oaths in his epistles. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 23. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 23. Moreover, I call God for record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. In light of these verses, Jesus and James condemns only the flippant, profane, and hypocritical oaths, the ones used to make impressions, used to spice daily conversations, but were never intended to be kept. Therefore, the exception to not swearing oaths are solemn oaths made in judicial circumstances. Those oaths on occasion of solemn religious importance, as in the case of Paul. The righteousness of the kingdom is to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. They would often spice their statements with vows and oaths in order to be believed, because in general, they couldn't be. Christians are to be so truthful. Their yes is heard as yes. And you don't have to spice that up. Yes, are you really truthful? I said I was. Do you swear? Don't need to swear. My yes means yes. And that's what it should be. And our no means no. It should not. We should not have to emphasize it in any way by our mother's grave or by any other thing that we do today. It should be no. And he's a man of his word, a woman of her word. And that's what she means. That's what it shall be. So truthful and trustworthy are the disciples of Christ to be, it would not be necessary for them to swear oaths or have to say, I promise, in order to be trusted. Can this be said of us? Look at your past life. Whether you can be trusted by your word. Can you say, yes, this is what I'm going to do, and people believe you? He said, yes, it's going to happen. It would not be necessary for them to swear oaths or have to say, I promise, in order to be trusted. Can this be said of us? When people know what we are, that we are Christians, can others bank on our words? When we say we will do something, is it as good as done? May the words of our Lord remind us that even our speech reflects either honor or dishonor upon the God that we serve. This evening, there may be some of you who have failed in this aspect. Others cannot trust your word, and you need to begin today that when you say yes, that you will do everything within your power to do that thing that you've said yes to. That when you say yes, it is the truth. And that when you say no, nothing will change that no. If it is part of good sense and doesn't need to be changed or modified by the word of God. That when you say no, you mean no. And that's the end of the matter. Perhaps you need to change that today. Ask God for forgiveness. And if there have been any that you have broken word with, that you need to go to them and ask them for forgiveness as well. And if it's a public matter, make it known publicly so that we can pray with you for your restoration. It may be that you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins today. If you ask Jesus how you need to be saved, he's going to say various things found in the New Testament. Those things don't change. We don't need to wait until we get to heaven to see whether this is the truth or not. It is the truth, always is, and it's not going to change at the judgment. We can trust Jesus. If we follow him, he will announce us to the Father in heaven. If we confess him, he will confess us. But if we deny him, he will deny us. There is the yea, yea, and the nay, nay you really need to be worried about. When Jesus says yes, that's true. But when Jesus says no, that's not going to be changed either. If you need to be restored or baptized for the remission of your sins, we can assist you with that at this time. If we can help you in any way, come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing.